This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
The canary in the coal mine, one of the early carbon monoxide detectors. Cats in an apartment. A foolproof way to detect ghosts, right? Kind of the same sort of a thing, just a little different. In our next story, we hear from a couple who moves into an apartment. Everything seems okay at first until people start getting locked in rooms and they can't get out. And locks literally need to be removed from doors because they are not just getting stuck or malfunctioning. Something is locking people in and not allowing the locks to function properly, to be unlocked, completely out of control of the entity. And the cats seem to know what's going on. They're staring at something. Something that none of the people can see, only deal with, only experience. And all else fails, I guess, look to the cat. The cat's kind of freaked out and uncomfortable. Probably not a place you want to live. That'd be an interesting thing to do when you're going house hunting or apartment shopping. You bring your cat with you the whole time. Like, hang on, we'll let the cat go in here for about a half hour. Just want to see what they think. Okay. Yeah, the cat thinks this one's haunted. Let's go to the next one. Might not be a bad idea, right? Start banning cats then, because too many apartments aren't going to get rented out once that test gets into to full gear. In our next story, we hear about that couple in the apartment. Cats see the ghosts. Owners experience it. It gets messy. Take a listen. My boyfriend Dan and I moved into our apartment in November of 2007. It's our first apartment together, and for the first few months, we didn't really notice anything strange about the place. We'd previously lived with Dan's brother, and it was enough of an adjustment getting used to living on our own. Our cats did seem to take a while to get used to the place, but we attribute that to the fact that they had never lived anywhere else. Besides, who can really explain cat behavior most of the time anyhow? One of them seemed to change the most. He used to be a very sweet, outgoing cat, but for the first 6 months in our apartment, he showed a bit of nervousness in general and aggression towards me. Scratching, biting, etc. And to this day, about 10 months later, is still extremely jumpy. About 4 months ago, in May, it was about the time when we started noticing strange occurrences. For example, one night I got up to use the bathroom, locking the bathroom door behind me. When I tried to leave the bathroom, I unlocked the door, turned the knob. It still felt like the door was locked. I jiggled the knob, tried locking and unlocking the door again, and still, nothing. I'm a bit claustrophobic, so I did panic a little. I pounded on the door, and Dan had to come let me out of the bathroom. He was able to do so just fine from the other side, and thought that the situation was a riot. We figured it was something wrong with the knob, since the apartments haven't really been renovated since the 70s. Back in our bedroom, about an hour or two later, I noticed the cat staring intently at the wall above our headboard. I kept looking to see what he was looking at with such concentration. This is a cat who normally has the attention span of a goldfish, and I couldn't see anything. He continued to do so, and at one point even crawled up between Dan and me to bat at the wall. Dan thought maybe he saw a shadow or a bug, and we didn't think anything more of it that night. Our problems with the bathroom door continued on and off. Dan even took off the knob to see if he could figure out what was making it stick, but it appeared to be working fine. Finally, one night, Dan's coworker, Lindsay, got stuck in the bathroom. The door didn't want to open, even from the outside. After a little more jiggling, and about 10 minutes later, Dan got her out. She immediately left her apartment, saying that she was totally creeped out. The next night, I got stuck in the apartment, and Dan had to forcibly remove the doorknob to let me out. Dan replaced the doorknob the next morning, and her problems with the bathroom door stopped. While all the doorknob shenanigans are going on, I noticed something else about our apartment. We keep our alcohol on top of the fridge, and when you pass by or walk on certain parts of the floor, it moves the fridge and the bottles clink. Dan and I experimented and found out the parts of the floor that we can step on to make this happen, in order to avoid them if we're walking around at night and the other person is sleeping. One day, while home alone, I was on the computer and heard the bottles clinking. I'd never heard them do that unless someone was walking around in the apartment. My first thought was that one of the cats had jumped up onto the refrigerator, so I went out to the kitchen with a spray bottle. On my way to the kitchen, I saw the cat curled up asleep on her cat tree. I walked over to the fridge and stopped, looking up over the fridge to see if there was anything there. Nothing. I looked around the kitchen and saw nothing as well. And the bottle started clinking again, and I hadn't moved yet. I waited for them to stop before I moved, and I experimented walking around different parts of the kitchen to try to make the bottles make noises and couldn't figure out how they had started when I hadn't been moving. I gave up and started to walk back to the bedroom, and as I did, the bedroom door swung shut and I heard a click. When I got to the door, the knob wouldn't turn. I jiggled the knob and gave the door a push like Dan had instructed me to do when the bathroom door had been sticking. Unfortunately, I pushed a little too hard and the door came open, with the knob coming through part of the door. I was relieved to have the door open, even if it was broken. I examined the doorknob and realized that the door had been locked from the inside of the bedroom, and that it hadn't been stuck at all. I immediately called Dan to let him know what happened, and he laughed it off again. Later that night, I noticed one of the cats staring at the wall behind her headboard again. We purposely have not replaced the doorknob on our bedroom door just to see if anything happens. A few days later, I came home to find the front door unlocked. Dan and I are both religious about locking the door. Dan's childhood home was burglarized, and he has a huge fear of intruders. I ran downstairs and got one of the neighbors down there to come in and check on the apartment with me just in case. We found nothing, and nothing seemed to be out of place. This has happened several times in the past few months, even when I leave the house, and I know for a fact that I've locked the door. I came home an hour later, and it'd be unlocked. We also keep our closet door closed and keep the cats from getting hair all over our clean clothes. I have to wear black and white at work, and those are two of the worst colors for cat owners to wear. And we keep finding the closet door open as well. Once, while I was inside the closet, we have a walk-in. The door shut on me as well. Things have seemed to escalate in the past 2 months or so. Dan has claimed to have lost his keys and torn the whole apartment apart looking for them, only to find them half an hour later, neatly placed on the edge of the bed. I thought perhaps he just hadn't checked that spot until the same thing happened to me. We keep a white blanket folded on the end of the bed, and after 15 minutes of frantic searching, I remember what happened to Dan and checked the bedroom again, and sure enough, there were my keys, neatly placed on the white blanket at the end of the bed. The cat still has a fascination with the wall behind our headboard. I've examined it up close and cannot figure out what the heck he's looking at. He doesn't seem to do that with any other spots in our apartment. During the past week or so, I kept thinking that Dan is talking to me when I'm getting ready in the bathroom and he's in the bedroom, but when I go into the bedroom to ask what he said, he tells me he hasn't said anything. I've tried to be thorough and would welcome any thoughts or suggestions on the subject. Are we going crazy? Is there possible activity in our apartment? It seems as the activity is primarily focused on the doors in our apartment, but I'm not aware of the history of the complex or our specific unit. I've not been able to find answers anywhere. Maybe I never will.
Where I am, I'm confusing. I seem to travel from time out of mind. Maybe I this place is great and desolate.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.